May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 702. Self-condemned and abhorred, how shall I approach the Lord? Hard my heart and cold and faint, full of every sad complaint. Hymn 702.
holy word of God. Let us read this evening in Paul's first epistle to Timothy, reading chapters 3 and 4. Paul's first epistle to Timothy, chapter 3 and chapter 4. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, that's an overseer, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behaviour, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labour and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy and sacred word of truth, and may he help us now to pray. O thou most holy, almighty and eternal God, we are not worthy, Lord, to seek thy face in prayer, because we are full of sin and iniquities daily, transgressing thy holy law, thy holy word. Yet we come, Lord, before thee this night, pleading that sacred name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners, who has made a way whereby sinners such as we can approach unto thee, the Almighty God. O Lord, do humble us before thee now this night, knowing that we are unworthy of the least of thy mercies, yet we need them all bestowed upon us, for we cannot deliver ourselves from the power of sin, We cannot lift ourselves, Lord, unto any aspect of righteousness that is acceptable in thy sight. In our earthly bodies, in our earthly being, we remain as an unclean thing in thy most holy sight. O Lord, who reveal in us the knowledge of this solemn truth, and cause us to cry for that mercy through Jesus Christ, the sacrifice for sin, who gave his own self, the shedding of his blood, that there might be remission of sins. Lord, we come on no other ground before thee here tonight than to worship thee, to praise thee for that glorious, wondrous work in the gift of thine only begotten Son, and to glory in the work of Christ, that we may have hope of eternal life when that love is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost given to us, and those sweet views by faith of the Lamb of God, and to know that it was even for me that he hung and suffered there on Calvary's cross. O Lord, may we be confirmed as those amongst whom it was said, Christ came to bear the sins of many. Lord, those many cannot be counted, not by us that are finite. But we are told, Lord, it is but a few amongst the many that have inhabited this world. For broad is the way and wide is the gate that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go thereat. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life eternal, and few there be that find it. O Lord, may we be amongst those few. Lord, who give us that sweet knowledge of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that glorious work that blots out all transgressions, remembers sins no more. And as thou doth look, Lord, upon the sinner's soul, through the work of thine only begotten Son, the judgment is, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. So, Lord, we fall before with humble thanksgiving and praise and honour and glory unto thy name, that we can come and meet together this night with that hope set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, if any know not the sweetness of this grace, we pray, Lord, thou wilt put within them that appetite, Lord, to desire to taste of thy mercy and grace. Lord, that's the appetite of a needy sinner. And we thank thee for that gracious promise that they shall be filled who are hunger and thirst after righteousness, the sacred work of Jesus Christ. So fill, Lord, each seeking soul with the knowledge of thy righteousness, of thy work of salvation, that each one of us here tonight may not be left to that solemn judgment of eternal damnation, But each of us have an interest in that shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, to look by faith and to live. We ask thy blessing, Lord, upon thy people here. Lord, whenever they meet, do grant thy blessing. Oh, may each gathering together not be in vain, because thy presence is known and felt in the midst. May it be so, Lord, tonight. It's not our work. It's thy work, Lord, for the blessing of our soul. We've read a portion of thy holy word. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt cause it to enter our hearts, to be written upon the fleshy tables of our hearts, and to exercise us by it. And that, Lord, which is spoken this night from these lips, Lord, we need more than that. We need thee to speak by thy Spirit to each one of our hearts. So do not send us empty away. Do not send us untouched away. Oh Lord, may it be good that we come again to the house of the Lord. Lord, thou knowest all that takes place within us. Thou knowest the ways that we take. Lord, are not our times in thy hand? And we pray, Lord, that through that which has taken place this day, thou wilt forgive our many sins. And we pray thou wilt own and bless that which we have attended to and sought to do what was needful and necessary. And we pray, Lord, that all shall be to thine honour and glory, that we do these things not for the glory of self or of others, but seek to do all to thine honour and glory. We thank thee for our health and strength. We thank thee, Lord, for that through which we're able to be here tonight, our peace and safety, the supply of our daily needs, our food, our drink, our homes, our clothing, our loved ones. Lord, all that are so needful for us to progress and prosper in earthly things. Lord, may there be many evidences amongst all these things that thou art mindful of us, and sanctify them to the good of our soul. Lord, that we may know that thy hand is upon us, and that thou shalt work all things for our good, our spiritual good, for the furtherance of the gospel, to the glory of thy name. So help us, Lord, to live unto thee. Lord, we pray thy blessing upon all those that are appointed to preach the gospel here. Lord, may that which has already taken place this year, there have been many a time, there's been a word in season, a token applied of thy love in power by the Holy Ghost. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt bring forth from each heart the testimony of thy goodness. Come, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. O Lord, do work thy great work of grace here, amongst young and old. Lord, do build up this place with those godly, gracious, spirit-taught increases, those that are thine, the election of grace. Lord, who help our friends that have the responsibility of this church. Help them in all their duties and responsibilities. Hear their prayers, and the prayers, Lord, of each of the church members. granting them the unity of thy Spirit. O Lord, do hear their prayers of their united exercises for the good of this place, this house of God, the people, Lord, that attend. O Lord, we pray thou wilt hear their prayers regarding the ministry. Lord, do supply it as thou shalt see fit. Be with each of the congregation. Be with the children, the little ones. O Lord, undertake for them. Keep them safe from every evil in this wicked world. Give the parents wisdom in bringing up their children, in the nurture and admonition of thee, the Lord. And may there be fruit to their labours, the blessing of thy Spirit, that those children, Lord, the subjects of many prayers, shall be confirmed as the lambs of thy fold, preserved by thy love, kept from the ways of evil and of sin. O Lord, bless the young people also. Remember them and in all the changing scenes of life and the decisions that have to be taken in those years growing up into adulthood. Lord, do go before them. May thy goodness pass before them in the way and hear and answer the prayers they are constrained to pour out before thee. For thy help, for thy guidance, and for thy blessing. Lord, remember the Sunday school here. Lord, do not let that be a work in vain. But may there be a many a good thing done in the minds and the hearts of thy children. Lord, be attentive to thy word. And may, Lord, even in years to come, it be found again to do them good. Lord, remember each one of us in all that concerns us. Remember any that are sick. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that can it be thy will, thy healing touch, to be upon them. And the pathway not just be for the healing of body, but also of soul. Lord, we do pray thou wilt grant thy mercy still upon our nation. Lord, we are guilty of so many vile sins. We have turned aside from thy word. Lord, we count it as nothing worth. We even deny thy very being. And Lord, we are sinners amongst the sinners of this nation. And we deserve thy wrath. To us belong confusions of faiths, but to thee belongeth mercy. Oh, to give us the spirit of Daniel, who prayed at that time of need. And Lord, we pray at this time of our need, in our nation. Lord, thou wilt appear. Turn the hearts of our parliament away from those things that are sinful and erroneous. And put within them, Lord, a spirit of prayer. Lord, even thy tender fear, draw them to thy word. Lord, help them to commit all their way unto thee, the difficult matters that have got to be decided upon in our homeland, with Europe and across the world. O Lord, we know not what thy will is. But we pray, Lord, that it may be of mercy. Lord, we cannot see how it can be for good. But nothing is too hard for thee. And we pray that the outcome of all these things may be the maintaining of our liberties of worship. Thy word to go forth to have free course and be glorified. The outpouring of thy Spirit. That thy word shall be received in the hearts of sinners. Thou wilt send out more to labour in the ministry of the gospel. Lord, that each church, no matter what the denomination, may be found again as a place where thine honour and thy glory dwells, and the things of this earth and the vanities of life are cast out. O Lord, do hear us. Keep us faithful to thy word of truth. Lord, pardon our sin, our transgressions. Ever lead us and keep us in the way that is everlasting. Lord, hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, do forgive. For Jesus Christ's sake we ask it. Amen.
Hymn number 119. Great God, from thee there's naught concealed. Thou seest my inward frame. To thee I always stand revealed, exactly as I am. Hymn 119.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon our Lord to help us, that he himself may speak to each one of us through his holy, sacred word. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of text to the first epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 8. The first epistle of Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Bodily exercise is something that concerns us all, no matter what our age. Perhaps more so in our younger days than when we get older. But bodily exercise does profit. It's the witness, isn't it, of life, health and strength, through which we are enabled to provide for our daily needs. Every day we have the need of bodily exercise to fulfill the daily tasks of life, to do the business, to do all things that come in our pathway. The Lord says in the Word that there's nothing better for a man to do than to do good in this life. To eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labour. It is the gift of God. In bodily exercise, dear friends, we see the mercy and the gift of God. Because of sin, we have to be exercised bodily to provide our food, as was said unto Adam, by the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Much had to be overcome that he could continue day by day, year by year. But dear friends, we have to remember it was the gift of God. The gift in that he did not condemn man to that sudden solemn death on account of his sin. And when we are bodily exercised day by day in all that we do with our health, our strength, our abilities, the use of our faculties to achieve that which is vital for our continuation of life upon this earth, then let us ever remember that what we have is indeed of the gift of God. It's his permitting. He has not dealt with us after our sins. He has not rewarded us after our iniquities. Bodily exercise profiteth little. Now that word little is in a sense of time, not of magnitude. If you have a margin, it probably says for a little time. Bodily exercise profiteth for a little time. And that little time is, as we find at the end of the verse, the life that now is. Bodily exercise does not profit us anything for the life that is to come. But we are exercised in it. And we're to continue in bodily exercise for our earthly good. The scriptures exhort us to it. Even for you younger people. When we're of younger age, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. We're not called to live morbid lives. We are called to live in this life to enjoy all that the Lord our God has permitted us to have. But that doesn't mean to say we can do anything we wish, when we wish and how we wish. There's a condition here. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Bodily exercise profiteth little for a little time. It profits us day by day. We can look back over the days of our lives, and yes, the things we have done, they've profited us. I trust we've sought to be wise stewards of all the Lord has granted to us. And in being wise stewards, we have come to be as we are this day. We're not to glory in our own self, but we're to glory in God in all things, day by day, hour by hour. But that little time, the life that now is, will come to an end. And all that we've done upon this earth of our bodily exercise will profit us nothing. It will prove to be all vanity. Our righteousnesses, the scripture tells us, are but as a filthy rag. It's appointed unto us all once to die, and after that the judgment. And how shall we be judged if we've got nothing more than what we've done in our earthly life? You might say, oh, but godliness, is that not bodily exercise? The answer to that is yes. But the difference between simply bodily exercise and godliness is godliness, things are done upon a particular foundation, which is the love of Christ through his love for us. And the working out of godliness in bodily exercise is for a particular purpose. That is to the honour and glory of God. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. How careful we have to be, don't we, that our bodily exercise is that all that it is, and yet we consider it to be part of our godliness, or to consider it as our godliness. We read at the beginning of this chapter of some who depart from the faith, forbidding to marry. Dear friends, there is those of particular churches who forbid their office bearers, their ministers, their priests, as they call them, to marry. In a sense, believing it is a godliness. But that's not in accordance, is it, with the word of God? There's no merit in that which they do for the life that is to come. It may profit for a little time, for a while, whilst they can concentrate on that work which they believe they are called to do, and not be distracted by the other responsibilities and duties of a married life and family life. But they turn aside, don't they, from the word of God, which we read in chapter 3, where an overseer, a bishop, and a deacon, office bearers in the church, their friends, are to be the husbands of one wife, ruling their families well. It doesn't mean to say that every minister and every pastor has to be married, because there are times circumstances prevail when they're not. But, dear friends, this forbidding to marry, as if that's of a manner of righteousness and godliness, is a way of error. And it will not stand in the day of judgment. It speaks of those who abstain from meats. I read an article some time ago of a vegan who thought that all Christians should not eat meat, because before man sinned, man was only commanded to eat fruit. And therefore, under the forgiveness of God, we should seek to return to that state. We should only eat fruit and vegetables. It was, in effect, as they put it, a way of godliness. Dear friends, that's different, isn't it, to the word of God when he commanded Noah, when he came out of the ark, that all creatures were given to him for food. And he was instructed to eat of them, except not to eat them in their blood. And as Paul says here, for every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Dear friends, what we consider in our minds to be acceptable before God and count it as godliness is not right. You say, oh well, those things don't apply to me. They don't apply to us. What about our religious way of life? Our coming and going to the house of God? Our attending to the services? Keeping ourselves from various places where it is not really advisable to go, and so on and so forth? Do we count that as our godliness? You may have heard me say, I was speaking to a deacon who, quite a number of years ago now, and a member of his congregation, applied to go into a Christian care home. And she had to put down of her experience. And she put down how she'd been born of godly parents, brought up to attend the house of God. She'd been to the Sunday school. She'd said her recitations. She'd attended the prayer meetings. Whenever the house of God was open, as she was there. And the deacon says, "Have you got anything else to say?" And she says, "What else do you need?" And he solemnly realized that all through her life, down to old age, it had only been bodily exercise in coming to the house of God. She knew nothing else. You know, dear friends, there can be a respect for the things of God. But that's not true godliness. Jesus spoke very solemnly in the Sermon on the Mount, didn't he, concerning those who called him Lord, Lord. Have we not done this? Have we not done that? Why, even doing wonderful works in his name. Casting out devils. It was only bodily exercise. Because it was not founded on the truth of the sacred work of the Lord Jesus Christ to his honour and to his glory. Oh, let us exercise our own hearts and minds. What is our real foundation for eternal life? It isn't our coming and going, isn't it? It is not all that we attend to, left to just to itself. There has to be this right beginning, the beginning of godliness. Scripture here tells us, great is the mystery of godliness, without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. It's founded in the work of Christ. God was manifest in the flesh. That's Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Justified in the Spirit. Seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world, received up into glory. The glorious work of salvation for sinners. Dear friends, this is something that we must be a partaker of if we're to have any hope of eternal life. True religion, as one said, is more than notion. Something must be known and felt. It was David, wasn't it? In Psalm 32, who spoke of that great exercise he had upon his spirit, that exercise within his heart. Night and day, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin. Where did he acknowledge it? Unto thee, unto God. And mine iniquity have I not hid. No, he poured out his heart in humble confession. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Oh, this exercise of the heart of the conviction of great sin. Not just one to another that we've done something to hurt another and we may ask them for their forgiveness. But to know through the power of the Spirit of God, oh, that we've sinned in his sight, we've transgressed his word. We are only worthy of eternal death and we tremble at his word. And he causes us to, yes, roar all the day long, cry for that mercy. Cry to be delivered. Now, friends, nothing else will be in your prayers at such a time as that, you know. when you're under a true conviction of sin. It will be, give me Christ, or else I die. David says, for this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Dear friends, that's how we approach, isn't it? As guilty sinners before a holy God, pleading this precious name and sin-atoning blood of Jesus Christ, the object of our first desire, Jesus crucified for me, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now that's the foundation if we're to have any hope of eternal life. That's the beginning of godliness. That's where we taste that the Lord is gracious. That's where we come to know, oh, this love of God. Oh, we shall never come to know the depth of it. It's so great. Oh, but to know that witness within our heart by the Holy Ghost of this precious love, that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, whilst we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. That'll become a real word in power and in the Holy Ghost. And it humbles us, doesn't it? Why me? Why me? Why such a wretch as me, who would forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? And dear friends, that brings from the heart that love. The love to Christ, love to God, because of his love to us. And godliness, dear friends, is to walk in that love, as Christ hath loved us, seeking no will but his. Oh, we have our own will, don't we? And how strong it is. It dominates probably our bodily exercises, our own wisdom, that which we seem right within us. But dear friends, when we know this work of grace, this beginning of true godliness, our prayer is, Lord, thy will be done. What wilt thou have me to do? Everything committed unto him, that we may walk uprightly before him, to his honour and to his glory. Really, dear friends, this godliness is the Spirit of Christ. How solemn that word is. If we have not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. The walking out in godliness is an evidence of the Spirit of truth that has been imparted to us sovereignly by Almighty God. How much godliness do we show in our earthly lives? Are we really true witnesses that we are born again? Born of God, and our treasure is above. Dear friends, it is to be shown in our daily lives through what we say and what we do, how we conduct ourselves. One of the great aspects of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ was obedience, wasn't it, to his Father? An obedient servant, my righteous servant, shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, to which he condescended, and all the agony that he faced when the sins of all that the Father had given him were laid upon him, that he should bear the price demanded by the law. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, the bitterness of the suffering of his soul, far greater than the bitterness of the vinegar that was given him to drink. Obedience. Dear friends, that's a major aspect, isn't it? Evidence of godliness, true godliness. Jesus says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Love one another as I have loved you. Dear friends, it's not easy, is it, to love all those who are the Lord's, because we're so different in our characters, so different in our opinions, so different in our walks perhaps, and likes and dislikes by nature. But dear friends, this love is for Christ's sake. To do all things for love's sake. Brethren, hereby we know we've passed from death unto life when we love the brethren. Oh, how solemn it is when disputes come, when divisions come amongst the people of God. That's not a witness of the Holy Spirit, is it, which unites in the love of Christ? That's a witness of one's own earthly spirit, prevailing and predominating at that time. How we are to walk in this love. I think it's John in his epistle. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Jesus said, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Dear friends, don't let us glance over these quickly. The evidence of that love, that redeeming love within us, in its power and in its true effect, will cause us to walk in the Lord's commandments. And of course, one of those commandments is where he has begun that good work within us, to do this in remembrance of me. Oh, dear friends, I say that lovingly. Obedience. It's not for your merit. It's not for your glory. It's in honour and glory to him who hath saved you. If you were drowning in the sea and someone risked their life to come and take you from that water and bring you safely to the land or to wherever was a safe place, dear friend, you'd soon give honour and glory to that person, wouldn't you, when you spoke to others of what had happened to you? And yet there's such a fear of obeying the word of God, where he hath bestowed that pardoning love upon you. Oh, disobedience is a solemn sin. Don't expect the Lord to prosper your way. He didn't mind. The Lord makes his people willing in the day of his power. And dear friends, if you fear, if you're afraid to obey his voice, to obey his word, then your prayer is earnest, isn't it? Lord, make me willing in the day of thy power. and to walk in love in all things to his honour and glory. When we think of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we think of his mercy. His mercy towards you as a guilty sinner. Pardon of your sins. Peter said to Jesus, if my brother sin against me 7 times, shall I forgive him? Jesus says, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. That if that brother says, I've sinned, please forgive me, we're to do it. As Christ has forgiven you and paid the price for your sin, that which has been done to you may have hurt you and made an effect upon you. It may have brought you into some trouble yourself. But dear friends, that trouble is nothing compared to what Christ suffered on your behalf, was it? Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us, do we? If ye forgive not men that trespass against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. What a solemn word. Godliness is profitable. Unto all things, it's the way of peace, isn't it? It's not in accordance with our own spirit. Dear friends, to do that which the Lord has commanded, his commandment. Dear friends, to the natural mind and heart is perhaps foolishness. But in the purpose of God, of eternal life, it is wisdom. It is peace. It's prosperity. For whilst we're under the influence of the power and the Spirit of God through Christ, then all things shall work together for good. Because we do all things in faith, trusting in the Lord that he will be mindful of these things and cause things to work together for our good. Mercy, one to another, when others sin against us, and seek our forgiveness. I suppose another aspect of this godliness is patience in tribulation. In this world we shall have tribulation. Many things shall rise against us. They did against Christ. He had many temptations. Satan was a mighty foe, wasn't he? And he will be to us. Satan has many agents. And he will use those agents to stir up, the spirit of unbelief and of anger and prejudice and pride and, everything that is ungodly within us. No matter what our age, at school, at college, at work, amongst all our neighbourhood and wherever it is, dear friends, we may come into those times, well, we shall come into those times if we fear the Lord and seek to walk uprightly in his sight. Many who might rise up and speak against us. Perhaps some of you have now. Perhaps at work, school, college. We read in Peter, in his epistle, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. When we do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Oh, dear friends, how easily those who hate the word of truth and hate the Lord's people, perhaps hate you for what you are, will perhaps stir up some rumour against you, something that is false, even perhaps concerning what you've done, but the manner in which you've done it and the purpose for what you've done it. And many believe, and perhaps your name becomes rather tainted. And that causes grief, doesn't it? Our heart grieves when things like that arise against us. Peter says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. What were these steps? Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You know, dear friends, left to ourselves, we are soon going to put the matter right, aren't we? I'll go and deal with that person. I know what I'm going to say. You have it all up in your mind. Perhaps you meditated it at night, what you're going to do the next day. That isn't the way of the example of Christ, of this godliness. Committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, poured out the matter before the Lord himself. Him who was tempted in all points such as ye are, yet he without sin. How he, being tempted, can succour those, help those that are tempted. And to trust by faith, dear friends, that he will work all this matter together for good. Whatever that good, the outcome of it is, but to sanctify it to the good of your soul, maybe for the good of the other soul, for the furtherance of the gospel, for the glory of his name. Oh, godliness. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So, dear friends, this godliness is inseparable from faith, isn't it? And trust in the Lord our God, who spared not his own Son, but gave him up for us all. How much more shall he freely with him give us all things? All things in this life. Oh, we can have many other aspects of godliness, time won't permit. But Paul says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All your need, all what you have need of in this life, day by day, hour by hour. Help in those times when we seem to fall into temptation and, oh, come to be much cast down. There's a throne of grace, isn't there? Jesus was much in prayer. Jesus said, whatever ye shall ask in my name, I will do it. Notice those words, in my name. The prayers of the godly, prayers that are part of this godliness, seek not for just our good. We might pray for the Lord to deliver us from some difficulty and trouble, whatever it might be. But, dear friends, a godly prayer will be whatever the way the Lord will sovereignly deal with this matter. It will be for his good. It will be to the honour and glory of his name, for the furtherance of his purpose. That he shall have all the honour and all the glory. Now, that's the sanctifying of the pathway. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Eternal life. I've heard it said regarding Matthew chapter 25 that in the day of judgment we are judged according to our works. Oh, dear friends, yes, the scriptures tell us that in that last day the books will be opened and we shall be judged according to all that we have done. And except there was another book, the book of life, all of us would be sent to hell. But Jesus said, in that day, the sheep shall be separated from the goats. And to the sheep, he said, come, thou blessed of my Father. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. For I was hungry, and ye gave me food and drink. I was naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, ye came unto me. Therefore one is judged according to one's works. Dear friends, that is not so. Those that came there, the sheep, they did not plead those works. They said, when did we see thee and do this? When did we do that and see thee? There was only one plea they could make in the day of judgment. And that was what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for them, bearing their iniquities, to blot out all their transgressions by the shedding of his blood. Jesus is being precious, redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but of the precious blood of Christ. And that love that was shed abroad in their heart, that redeeming love, had the influence how they would then conduct themselves in this life, this way of godliness, the evidence of the work of Christ within their heart. And so in that day of judgment, their names were written in the Lamb's book of life. Yes, that was their salvation. And it was evident in the way they then walked the remaining days of their life upon this earth. The goats, they didn't do such things. They had bodily exercise. They probably did many things which were morally upright. They probably kept themselves from many ways of evil. But it was all just for their own self-will and their own self-glory. There was no evidence of this true godliness of Christ in them, the hope of glory. Oh, this one thing needs. The separator between between bodily exercise and godliness. Dear friends, how this searches us out, doesn't it? Are we under the influence of the grace of God through Jesus Christ? Or are we still just living to ourselves, maybe with a respect to the word of God, to Christ and to God? But it doesn't go beyond that. Oh, the Lord work within us in the power of his Spirit. Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal the things of God. Make to us salvation known and witness with the blood. For bodily exercise profiteth little, just for the time whilst we're here upon this earth. But it will not stand in the day of judgment. But godliness, which has its root and foundation in what Christ hath done for us, and that grace of God, and that Spirit of God ruling in our hearts to govern our words and ways, is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. O, the Lord, make us true servants of the Lord, to do all to the honour and glory of his name, and in everything give thanks, for this is acceptable to God. In Jesus Christ. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Sadler will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Jabez Rutt on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 964. If to thee I breathe my prayer, Lord, wilt thou not deign to hear? Shall I seek, but seek in vain? Shall I ask, and not obtain? Hymn 964.
do pardon and forgive all that thy holy and pure eyes have seen amiss in our worship here this night. Lord, bless thine own word. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt begin that work of thy grace in each of our hearts and confirm it throughout our days. Lord, let thy good spirit rule our heart. Make us, Lord, willing to do thy will. And help us, Lord, to walk in love as thou hast loved us. And keep us, Lord, in the way that is everlasting, ever looking unto Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith. Lord, watch over us now as we separate. Be with each one of us as we go to our homes and where we shall be this night. Grant us a good night's rest in our bodies and minds. May we be able to rest in thy love. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.